Thank you, delegates. For those of you who are back, we will now start, given that our voices are in place, and thank you very much, interpreters, we will begin consideration of the next item on our agenda, conference room document number 4, which concerns machine translation systems for use in codecs. This document was jointly prepared by the United States, Finland, India, and Argentina. And I invite the member for North America to introduce the document for us and lead us to the considerations that that these member countries would like us to consider. Madam.
Thank you. First of all, just note that the document that you have, CRD4, is fairly thick, but most of it is examples at the end, annexes, and we'll just be dealing with the front part of it, which is pretty straightforward, I think. At the last commission meeting, and actually at several commission meetings and CC exec meetings, we've had discussions about timely distribution of documents. And one of the things that was discussed was the difficulty and the time consumed in getting translations done. Recognizing that that's probably only part of the reason that documents are not always distributed in timely fashion, but I think it's something that we would want to look at for a number of reasons. And so we volunteered to look at what is euphemistically called machine translation of documents. And we looked into what is out there and some of the possibilities. And I would just say straightforward that while we looked at it in terms of getting translations perhaps faster and less expensively, there are other reasons why machine translation is becoming more popular and is used more extensively. Many people have experiences and perhaps bad experiences with machine translation. So people who will sometimes just say, well, it's not worth it, you can't use it. There's a couple of points to remember. There is, first of all, software that translates documents. And that's the standard software that you can sometimes buy off the shelf or is sometimes adapted for organizations. Coupled with that is something called translation memories. And that is when the software is able to remember things that you did so that the next time the same concept or the same construction or the same word comes up, it knows to use that. But the bottom line is no machine system ever operates without the human element. And what the best machine systems do is that they translate documents and which are then post-edited by a human being, but the net result is that that it is faster, that the human translator does not have to spend as much time translating, and the quality will tend to go up because of the fact that you have more consistency when a human translator is post-editing a document. We were looking at a variety of things that are out on the market, and you're probably even familiar with some of them. And in the process, we discovered, after several months of looking at things, that a very well-developed system, and in fact a leader in this whole area of machine translation, is the Pan American Health Organization, which of course is the regional health organization associated with WHO. And their system, as I said, is fairly well-developed. They have developed dictionaries, and that's really the secret to good machine translation, is what kind of dictionaries do you have. They have developed software that they have sold to other organizations, and as these organizations have used the software, their terminology is fed back into their dictionary. So the PAHO system consistently gets better. And from what we can tell, they are considered to be, as I said, a leader in this area. We have some annexes here that we attempted to show, and what happens when you use the PAHO system. And let me just say that we went over and we watched this, and we took these two documents, one in English and one in Spanish, and in about 60 seconds, maybe even less, they spit out the translation for us. That was what you see here. These are not post-edited edited documents, and it was a system that their employees can use. It's very easy to use. I guess looking on the CRD, we listed some of the advantages that I would just note. One of them being productivity, and they are finding that their productivity of their translators was increased as sometimes as much as threefold. They had an instance where an organization, Pharmacopoeia volumes, that had been translated. It took them 10 months to do that. With a machine translation, it would have taken 3 years to do that if they'd have just done the regular human translation. So you get an example of how it increases productivity. Doesn't replace humans, but it increases their productivity. And as I also indicated, it improves the quality of the translations in the sense that there is a memory, so when a translator makes a decision about a word or a phraseology, then the next time that comes up, the same decision will be made. Our suggestion from this is that Codex and the Secretariat may want to further consider the system. Whether it's the PAHO system or another system, the reason that I would, and I guess I should say this, that most systems translate one or two languages well. So if you find a software system that says we do 25 languages, they probably don't do 25 languages very well. So the PAHO system, because it's organized in for the Americas, translates English, Spanish, and Portuguese. They do sell their software, although we did not discuss with them what they might charge to Codex, but given that they're, I don't know, are they a cousin or an aunt and uncle or something of Codex? Cousin, okay. The possibility exists that there could be some type of a negotiation with them over that. And so I guess our suggestion would be that the executive committee consider whether we would like to pursue something like this as a way of improving productivity perhaps helping as well with what we initially started out with, which was timely distribution of documents. So that's what I present to the group today.
Thank you very much, Member for North America. This appears to be a very interesting proposal for the Executive Committee to consider and make a recommendation to the Commission. It sounds as though that any such work would need to be undertaken as a process. Clearly, the Codex translation involves more than English, Spanish, and Portuguese. The PAHO, Pan-American Health Organization, being the best developed software and dictionary that you've discovered. But again, we recognize this problem of ready availability of translated documents is one that we should find a solution to, and we should work towards improved availability of translated documents. I think we shouldn't expect perfection as a very first step. That the very first thing we achieve when we try a solution is the perfect solution. But I urge the committee to think about moving forward, to take a step forward and begin to develop solutions that will improve with time. Certainly, a threefold increase in the speed of availability of documents is something I think we can all agree is greatly to be desired and would be very much appreciated by the members of all the members of the Codex family. So I open the floor to comments from members of the executive committee. Let's hear your experiences of translation via software, via machine, with the assistance of human translators. And perhaps you have additional ideas about how we could build an ever better and improving system that addresses all the languages of our family. Member for the Near East, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. في الحقيقة
Madam Chair, this is a very important document. It is a very good document indeed. And I would like to thank the sponsors, the United States, India, Argentina, and Finland, for thinking of preparing such a document. I personally, on several occasions in the past, I reminded my colleagues here of the importance of translation work. We in my region struggled a great deal when it came to the provision of documents in Arabic. Several terms and a lot of the terminology involving scientific terms lead to confusion, and even within the Arab member states of the group failed to agree on the use of scientific terminology. Therefore, I believe this is a very good idea. I know that the examples used does not make a reference to the Arabic language, but the principle is quite good. And if we were going to accelerate the process of producing translated documents, then we have to consider this option. But that brings me to the point that was raised. Having a software is important, but what is more important is that we make sure that we have the translation memory, we have a database for terminology used, a glossary. I think these are complementary elements we need to have. Therefore, I would like to ask here to include Arabic as part of the software introduced, and I would like to express our readiness as a region using the Arabic language to contribute ideas, to contribute our dictionary in Arabic to be included in the translation memory. That's what I have to say at this moment in time, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, member for the Near East. And certainly your experience in the Near East with, to the extent you can help us, if if we go forward, identify software that is being used with Arabic, in addition to the very valuable work you've done to try to find terms that are acceptable among all Arabic-speaking countries. The scientific and technical terms will be very, very helpful. Thank you very much for your support. Member for Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not opposed to investigating alternate methods of making sure that we get our documents out on time, but I have a couple of questions. Is the suggestion that the Codex Secretariat investigates the use of machine translations so that all host governments that currently provide translation would be required to use them or would be able to use them? If that's the case, then there would be considerations in each of our own countries in terms of how you contract people. I'm pretty sure that the translators that we contract to do the work for CC Fix probably already use machine translations and have their own glossaries and all those sorts of things. So I'm not sure that in our particular circumstance it would make any difference to the way that we operate. The other question, and it's probably more for FAO and the Codex Secretariat, but I'd also expect that there's probably some fairly strong rules, including terms of employment and how translators will operate within not just the FAO, but within the UN systems, as to whether the use of machine translations would create a tension that might make the situation worse than it already is. Just a couple of things I think that we really need to consider in terms of where we go from here. But I would really be interested to know sort of the breadth of where you see this applying.
Thank you, member for Southwest Pacific. The answer to your questions is not from me. It really needs to come from this committee as a thoughtful set of questions that you, such as you just raised. We can look for certainly interim answers from the Secretariat and possibly legal counsel, but I think the idea would be to suggest a way to move forward, to resolve, to raise and resolve those questions as best we can, with the goal of being able to use machine translation to assist the work, possibly for, we would have to discuss this, possibly not with a focus on committees, possibly with a focus for the work on the commission and executive committee. I don't know. These are very valid questions. We have to think about them. And now is the time to start discussing them. So thank you for raising what are indeed very fundamental questions. Member for Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just another question, really. I think this is a very interesting concept, and certainly one that merits further consideration. I mean, anything which seems to sort of deliver a productivity increases should at least warrant consideration. My sort of question is at what cost? And I think a full cost benefit analysis would need to be done. I mean, I'm picking up some of the points that the member from Southwest Pacific made. At the moment, this quite clearly sets out the advantages and disadvantages of just the translation software, but there is no indication of cost. Now, it says translation costs average less than 30%, but you know, if you're developing that for each specific language of the codex, of the FAO languages, then some may be much more expensive than others. I imagine Spanish may be cheaper than Arabic or Chinese, for example, or Russian. So I think it would need to be looked at as a package, and I think I would agree with member for Near East that we should be looking at the package of languages, but you know that may not stop a trial, a small trial on Spanish language, for example, to see how it works. But I think before we take further, you need to work up some ideas, picking up those questions that executive members may have, plus a feel for the costs, because maybe some of the software doesn't exist. I don't know if Arabic translation software, machine translation software exists or not. But we also have problems within English with our United States and Canadian, Canada and Australia anyway. So there's no difference in language differences there.
Yes, language differences are certainly ones that we all share. Was it Mark Twain, the great American writer, who described the English and the Americans as two people separated by a common language? and yet interpretation and translation give us voice. Without interpretation, without translation, we can't communicate with each other very well. And we need to find ways to do it, to achieve that communication better, faster, and cheaper, ultimately. Member of Europe, you raise very good points. Yes, we need to ultimately look at the project as a whole, considering all the languages in which we work and looking at the costs of translation achieved this way against the costs of translation achieved the way we currently do it. We need to look at the considerations of the working arrangements that now exist within FAO and WHO, within primarily, I suppose, FAO considerations, and factor those into an analysis. So I think it becomes clear that moving forward, we would need some analysis that looks at the issues raised by moving forward for the various languages, the labor contract questions, the possibility of staging the work, perhaps starting, as you suggest, with a pilot. That might be one consideration. And laying out a plan for moving forward. Let's keep track of those as we think about how we shall make a recommendation to the executive, to the commission. Member for Asia, and then coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean.
Thank you, Chair. I'm comparing the English version and the Spanish, and my capacity of Spanish is still not mature, but it appears the translation is fairly okay. And my comment is that I suppose there are several such translation machines, you see, and each of them may have some bias or idiosyncrasy or something of that kind. And particularly in Codex, Codex uses the language or words, which is quite particular, you see. It's not the same as spoken in the. So the if possible, that if the Codex can use one machine, that could be good. And ask the experts of the language to, or some, even not so much, the secretariat can find out what kind of words are mistranslated, something of that kind. With that advice and with the original document, this machine could be very, very useful. So that is one comment, and the other is that in the plenary, the CRD comes in the original language only. So I had to learn Spanish by myself. But if that CRD can be translated in the plenary, during the plenary, it will be very useful if checked by the the native speakers. So I think it will be, I strongly support the use of this translation machine, and thank you.
Very good. Member for Asia, thank you for those comments. You're quite right in that there would be a real advantage if ultimately Codex could develop one system that then would apply a consistent translation across all documents. Now we do have some differences, and we know that we are plagued by differences in translation of terms that arise in Spanish frequently. But if we could achieve a consistent rule that is then applied every single time, that would certainly help. Thank you very much, Member for Asia. Coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señora.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to echo what was said by the European and Pacific members. It seems that the delays in terms of document production are not necessarily down to delays in the meetings themselves. The host countries seem to be responsible for translations themselves, and it might be necessary for us, therefore, to look slightly more carefully at where the bottlenecks are in the document production process. The investigatory work by Argentina, the US, and Finland does seem useful. I think we could explore that, looking at the translation documents which are funded by FAO and WHO. We could look in this regard at a possible pilot project, see what the reaction to that could be, and in light of that, seek the best way forward for the other technical committees. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean. Yes, this is the system is complicated, and there are issues that go beyond mere, I say that advisedly, mere translation. That's difficult enough, but there are other problems. I'm sure we will continue to focus on them, but I would like to make sure that we focus the energy required to achieve some improvements in translation assisted by machine as we can. We can't solve all the problems and break all the bottlenecks merely by use of machine translation, but we can begin to improve at least part of the system. I will recognize the member for North America, and then I will observe that we need to hear from the organizations within which we work, FAO and WHO, and also from the Secretariat, because the views of these organizations are very clear. Clearly need to be, we need to hear them, and in order for us to move forward, we will need to work through them. The Commission needs to work through them. They will help the Commission achieve this advance. If the Executive Committee sounds as though it's going to make a recommendation to the Commission that we proceed to investigate machine translation. So I will first ask member for North America, then I will recognize FAO, and which, yes, a member from North America.
Just a couple of things in response to some of the discussion. People talk about a system, and so I think we should not delude ourselves into thinking that there is a system that will deal with all of the languages. That does not exist. In fact, even PAHO, as good as they are, have not expanded into French because of, and I'm not a linguist, but it has something to do with the way the languages interact or fit together or syntax or something. So right now, there is no single system. However, one thing I would say is that the technology is vastly improving. What people know is vastly improving. And I think what the value I would see to codecs perhaps is by taking the pressure off in one of the languages, it allows you to continue your translation service in the other languages and helps you in that sense. And I would suggest, if you wanted to think about moving forward and doing some type of a pilot test, that you pursue this with PAHL, again, as I said, an organization closely related to us, and I think they may be amenable to doing something with us, and that would be perhaps the easiest way to go. And I think we're fairly confident that's perhaps the best developed system out there that has dictionaries that actually relate to things that we do. So that's probably as good as it's going to get right now, and it tells you what the possibilities are. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for North America. Representative for FAO, please.
Gracias, señora.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you very rightly said, this proposal will take time for us to look at internally with our WHO colleagues, and particularly with the FAO translation services, for the following reasons. As a number of delegates have mentioned, this machine translation procedure does not replace human efforts. And here we would need to establish who would be responsible for revising the text in terms of quality translation, checking that the machine translation is up to codex document standards. Just an example here. In document CRD4, we see an example given, a comparison between Annex 2 and Annex 3 of document 1. This is control measures for Vibrio. There is a machine translation in Annex 3, and then the official codex translation given also. In the title of the document, for example, we see bivalval mollusks. Translation to Spanish in the codex says moluscos bivalvos. And the machine uses bivalvulados, which I'm not sure is absolutely the right Spanish word. As you know, there are also there are regional variations in the Spanish language, and I'm not sure if that's necessarily the right translation that the machine has used there. In part one, if you look at 3.1, the codex document says moluscos privados consumidas vivos in Spanish, and then consumidas crudos in Spanish. And we see a very strange translation in the machine version. It says that they consumed something else. The subject and the object are the wrong way around. I've been involved in this work for 24 years, and I'm very well aware of the work that goes into this. There is a need for serious quality control. We would need to work out exactly who was going to do this. Would it be the coordinators? Would it be PAHO? Or so on. A second point concerning the glossary of terms raised by the Near Eastern Asian members. I think one of the major benefits of our translating services and their work so far is their the amassed knowledge of terminology they've built up over years. they've been over the years building up a rich terminology in the various languages related to this work. And I think that would be an excellent basis to feed into whatever machine translation may or may not be chosen. I did just want to clarify with all of this that there is a need for quality control. The example I gave is an incredibly simple text. We're not talking about anything technical. When we get into risk assessment in microbiology and other areas, then we see the text going into far further detail. There may be issues of interpretation of language. And I did just want to draw your attention, therefore, to this issue and others which need to be borne in mind if we are to move forward on this option, which in principle is a good one. Thank you.
Thank you very much, FAO. Your observations are absolutely on point. The lesson, however, that we learn from PAHO's experience with its years and years of experience translating what their own very technical documents are that once you make corrections of the sort that called for, that you just pointed out very rightly, you make them once. You don't have to make them over and over and over again because the machine learns, and unlike humans, the machine doesn't forget. So there, that's one advantage. Now, again, the system's not perfect, and I think we all take very much to heart what we know to be the case, and that is that the FAO translators have built a really rich vocabulary themselves and understanding of codex terminology that would be a really useful resource to draw upon in some way. What that way is would have to be worked through, but it's a resource that surely must be used. Did you have a further comment, FAO?
The
only thing I wanted to add, Madam Chair, was that even though the machine can store data, it's a little bit like a spell check you use when you're word processing. It's a mechanical correction. The dictionary can store terms, but there is a need to revise the text in general to check whether it actually makes sense in general. I did just want to add that in general, FAO is not opposed to looking at the PAHO system. Indeed, we've been using it for certain GEMRA documents for some years. I just wanted to raise a caveat as to the fact that as we analyse this within the committee in the future and within the commission, we need to bear these in mind. I'm not opposed in general to taking up work from an organisation such as PAHO. This could help us with our work, but we should bear this in mind. Thank you.
Thank you very much, FAO. Yes, I think we recognise that it is that even when we move in the direction of using machine-assisted translation, we don't that the human mind and the human quality control will certainly, as long as we're on this earth, be involved in achieving the final document and the final text. But it is interesting to hear you observe that FAO has already been using the PAHO system, I think you say, for some translations in GEMRA. If that is an interesting observation that I think is worth noting, if I heard you correctly.
No funciona. Usamos para traducir.
Yes, we use it to translate chapter 2 of a GEMRA microbiological risk assessment document or manual. The problem was that it was too technical to be able to produce this document without it being revised afterwards. It couldn't be done purely mechanically. That's why I wanted to mention this. because I wanted to stress the fact that we needed to ensure quality control of these takes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, FAO. Well noted. Noted. I'll now ask WHO legal counsel. Recognize you, madam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering whether Carlos Oppenheimer, who is the chief of the Spanish section, for the translation section of WHO, could have the floor to make some comments in this respect. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sí, muchas gracias.
Thank you. I'm from the services of translation into Spanish at the WHO. I would like to express my gratitude for the statement made by the FAO on her experience in translation. I can only but support her observations. The very close editing and revision is indispensable to avoid errors committed by automatic translation. We are revising our PAHO translation, our experience is exactly the same as theirs, in fact. And right now, what is gained in time through using this type of translation is lost thereafter when it comes to revising the text and really going back into the system, refeeding it, the machine. The machine doesn't learn on its own. It can only learn if you feed all the corrections back into it. So now the machine itself cannot improve these things at all. So it's a way of translation. It's an approach, but I think it perhaps can be it's still a panacea because it does need a tremendous effort in revision. We use it as another option, an alternative, but it's not sure yet that it really has improved any of our ways of translating. Thank you.
I wish you I wish you much improvements for the future. No, I think we all recognize we're not talking about a panacea, an instant solution for perfection. But we recognize that the problems that we struggle with in Codex might find a partial solution and a way of moving forward if we are to try the use of machine-assisted translation, that is, machines assisted by human translators. We all recognize, of course, that the human translators have a voice here, the machines don't. however, we do have some experience from organizations within the UN system that show that, in fact, there are significant time gains. That may not be the case for you, but it apparently is the case for other relatives in the WHO family. So I wish for you very much you can ultimately achieve those gains. Would the Codex Secretariat like to make any comments about the possible ways forward here? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'll give you a moment to consult with each other.
You want to say something?
Thank you very much. Oops. Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and sorry for the consultation that we had here. I think this is very much going to be a concerted effort of several different parties, because we do not really see how, as we have heard from several people, how it could be done without a quality control. But obviously, the better the system is getting, and these systems now are, I'm sorry if I have to, much better than the spell checkers that we have in Word, which are really really not very useful in many cases, and if you let them run, solely make a complete mess out of a good text. So, but these systems, the system that PAHO has, is obviously something further developed, and capable to learn. But of course, we have to put in a lot of effort first to make it learn, to make it learn the codex terms, and so on. But it's for us to decide whether we want to move in that direction, if the outcome that we can expect from that is something positive. Because after all, if in the end we have to send documents instead of for translation, for revision, it is much more likely that the internal services can actually do it, because at the moment our services at FAO, very often they have to contract outside in order to do the job, because internally they don't have enough people to do it. So if they can work, the internal translators, on who we trust a lot, because this is the problem sometimes when we get translations, we get them from outside, they also need to be quality controlled. If it's an outside translator, if it's an inside official FAO translator who has the experience with codecs and so on, if they can spend more time on the revision of the document, then overall maybe we can have a better product and a faster product as well, and maybe also a little bit cheaper product, because the what we're charged for revision is less than what we're charged for translation. And in the end, if we build such a system, it could be good. I heard the thing what was said about CIDs, because CIDs are only in one language at the moment, only in the original language. If our system is, let's say, grown up a little bit and it can translate those to a certain level of quality, it's better than having nothing. With all the caution that we have to say to people, this is not an official translation, this is a translation that we did with a machine in order to assist you to get a grip of the document, get the idea of the document at least. And a final thought that came to my mind is, we are always talking about that not enough developing countries are host governments to codex committees, and that it's difficult because of the costs. If eventually, maybe one day, we can come to a system that will really reduce the cost of translation, maybe we can also motivate more countries to offer to host committees, because the translation is a big cost of such committees. But of course, part of this is a bit science fiction, because we don't know how good the system can get. But the progress, I think it might be worthwhile to study it. We have to develop more the ideas how we could do that, and in which committees. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that input, very thoughtful input from the Secretariat. Clearly, if we move forward here, if the Executive Committee suggests to the CAC that we look for possible ways forward that involve the use of machine translation, we are necessarily working closely with human translators for quality control. That's clear, and it's been illustrated in several different ways. It's also very clear that we are talking about written text here and not spoken text. So, can we agree, does the Executive Committee agree that we can recommend to the CAC that the Commission consider options for use of machine translation, perhaps by starting with a pilot through cooperation with Pan American Health Organization, we might need to further describe that pilot a bit. Coordinator for Latin America, do you have an idea in that respect?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I said when I spoke previously, pilot could be done through the regional committees, which are where the interpretation and translation costs are covered by WHO and FAO.
Thank you, Coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean. So one possible way forward might be to start with a pilot with the Latin America and the Caribbean Regional Coordinating Group Committee. But a key question that must... I see an intervention from Europe right before the key question, and an intervention from Asia. So I'll take Europe first.
Thank you. To quote a saying, I think it's a Spanish saying, I feel like the meat in a sandwich here. I note the suggestion by the coordinator for Latin America that will, of course, not pick up the Spanish, Spain Spanish. I'm just making that observation. I think it is an important point in terms of the documentation and the words that come out of any translated documents. So, as I said, do you understand? Will I make the point again? Okay, I think the proposal was that the the Latin American Regional Coordinating Committee would pilot a Spanish translation. I'm making the observation that this would not include Spanish as spoken in Spain, and I think there will be a difference in the terminology that comes out. So it's an observation, but one that's strongly felt, and so that I will leave it at that. As I say, I felt like a bit of a meat in a sandwich, but that's it.
Thank you, member for Europe. Now I understand better what you meant. Member for Asia?
Thank you, Chair. After listening to the intervention by Tom, I foresee some problem with the legal status of and the people started to talk about that. But I think as a pilot, I think it should be clear that the use of this machine is on the responsibility of the users. That means if I use it, how I use it is my responsibility. We have to admit that the machine is never perfect, so we cannot my own understanding from the manuscript transcribed machine. If I made some mistakes, it's my responsibility. I couldn't use it properly. So, always we have to look at how it's translated. So in that sense, the responsibility on the users, at least in the pilot phase, and if some delegation make mistakes on from the draft translated by machine, it's somehow it should be recognized that Codex itself is not responsible for that, the misunderstanding by the members. So I think the point is that who takes the responsibility of the wrong, you see, translation? And in that case, I shouldn't put the responsibility the machine or Codex, etc. It's the users. So I think it should be clear, unless we cannot go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, member for Asia. I note for the committee that we have 12 minutes before we must conclude, and we have one more item to discuss, that information item, it's an information item, so it should not take much time, but we should, I think, conclude our discussion on this matter within the next 7 or 8 minutes. I was ready to next come to the points raised by the FAO and WHO and the Secretariat and suggest that our recommendations to the Commission ask that an analysis be done, an exploration and an analysis be done with respect to the options for incorporating the use of machine-assisted translation along with the human translators with which we presently work and how we might work together within the systems that we live moving forward. With, I hope, a goodwill and a spirit of cooperation and a willingness to look for improved ways of working as we move forward into the future. And I'm sincerely hoping that I understand that there are contracts involved here, but that we can work with a will towards making the lives better for those of us who work in this big family of Codex and must work and communicate with each other in many languages. So I would ask that the next part of our proposal to the Commission include that request for an analysis by the Secretariat and Legal Services, perhaps, if that's the proper term, to report back to the Executive Committee. And I will recognize WHO Legal Counsel and then the member for Southwest Pacific. WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was also wondering whether it could be a good idea to, in this context, to have further consultation with our translation services who have also direct and practical experience in addition to legal terms to be further considered in the matter. And it is my understanding that at least as far as Codex is concerned, it's more the FAO translation service which is involved. So we will need to look more in detail in this respect. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir. Member for Southwest Pacific, please.
Sorry to delay the closure, Madam Chair. If we were to include the pilot, and I'm not quite sure whether we decided on that. I think that the regional coordinator for Latin America had a good suggestion, and that in the using the regional coordinating committee for Latin America and the Caribbean would be a good starting point. And in terms of the member for Europe's concerns, I think if that's the case, we would be using Codex Spanish, not Latin American Spanish or Spanish Spanish, because the translations would be provided by the Codex Secretariat. I think that's what. The member for Latin America wasn't suggesting that the translations would be edited by the members of the region.
Thank you, member of Southwest Pacific, for taking a bite out of the sandwich, or trying. I had proposed that that we might conclude, as our recommendation to the CAC, that a pilot be considered and that it be done through the Regional Coordinating Committee for Latin America and the Caribbean. And in addition, that was point two of 3 points. The first being that we recommend to the CAC that we pursue the possibilities involved with electronic translation, machine-assisted translation, that we consider a pilot, that we conduct a pilot through CCLAC, and that three, we ask that the FAO, primarily in consultation with WHO and the Secretariat, pursue options, investigate the issues that arise with the use of machine-assisted translation and what the various modalities for working in such a manner might be at the present time and what the plans might be for moving forward into the future, emphasizing that while this is a new process, that it's not perfect, but that we would hope to work for ever improving speed and effectiveness of translation. That is my summing up. If the committee can agree that that's sufficient, that's accurate and sufficient, and I would just ask for your agreement. If you have any additional comments to make, please make them now. Member for Europe and then FAO.
My machine's not working.
Right.
it is. It's a bit slow. I've no problems with that. Those summations. I think in any evaluation of the pilot, I think that'd be useful to include other member countries so that they can comment on the outcome. I think that'd be very useful. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Europe. FAO, please.
Gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you, Chair. Just to add to your summary, then I think that you should also include there where it is necessary to have an assessment of the quality of the text, not for the future, but this is an ongoing point. We have to analyze the costs and to assess and to cover an assessment of the quality of the work.
Thank you very much for that comment. The observation has been made that the process of the pilot study and the evaluation of the quality of the document and the ease of preparing it or the challenges of preparing it would actually inform the analysis that we would be asking the FAO to do. The Secretary, along with the Secretariat, in consultation with the WHO. That would be useful learning to draw from. So we could include that in our recommendation to the CAC. If there are no other comments, then I think we are clear on our conclusion here. Yes? Thank you very much. Let's hope for a constructive outcome from discussion at the Commission. And then let's turn now to the information item from Europe and New Zealand. Coordinator for Europe, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to transmit this information, which has more informative matter. The EU and New Zealand statement to Executive Committee on proposal for new work in the area of meat hygiene. The European Union and New Zealand would like to take this opportunity to inform the Executive Committee of an emerging interest in initiating new work in the area of meat hygiene with a view to developing quantitative guidance on risk-based measures for specific biological hazards in meat under the auspices of the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene. The European Union, in collaboration with New Zealand, will be submitting a detailed project proposal and a suggested process for advancement of a new work for consideration by the 42nd session of the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene later this year. The purpose of presenting this information is simply to inform members of the committee of this interest and to indicate that EU and New Zealand will be advancing the proposal consistent with the Commission's strategic priorities and in line with the criteria and processes for consideration of new work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Coordinator for Europe. The purpose of this announcement is simply to inform. Nothing more than that. It's advance notice that there's interest in this area, that a proposal will be made in due course and following all usual procedures to food hygiene when it next meets in the fall. And we thank you for that information. This brings us to the end of our work. And I thank you very much for your good thinking, your open-mindedness, your commitment to the critical review process, and to helping the Commission work with ever greater efficiency. Your role as sort of directors of the board for the Commission is really very important. And I think the Commission's response to your suggestions last year validated the thoughtfulness and the importance that the Commission gives to the work that you do. I will recess this meeting at this point and note that we meet again, we reconvene at 2 p.m. tomorrow for adoption of the report. The report will be available in all languages at 1 o'clock, right outside this meeting room. So, I thank you again. Excellent work. Enjoy your afternoon. And we will see you tomorrow. Thank you very much.